I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. And coming up on this episode, we are going to talk to the divorce diva.
Yeah, divorce isn't something a lot of people talk about. I think there's a little bit of shame involved, but our divorce diva today is having none of that.
She's been married twice, and she's got a story to tell. In fact, you could call her a relationship expert. There's a lot of do's and don'ts in this podcast. Don't marry an a-hole is the first one.
Yeah, that's just come right out with it now. Sam Wilprad, she's a friend of Sandra's, and she's a single mom in her 40s. She also talks about why she'll never get married again.
The Quick and the Dirty Podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
So, Hillary, I want to start off with a quick today and just say that I would love to talk about milestone birthdays. For example, I have a friend who's turning 40. No names, but it's you.
You be.
Happy birthday, Hillary, and happy milestone birthday, no less.
Thank you. You realize you have a milestone coming up, too, and it's all coming back.
Hillary?
Yes?
Also, we don't talk about my age, remember?
What?
We only talk about your age. This is a one-sided friendship. Let's talk about you. You just turned the big 4-0.
Yeah, I thought it would be harder. Coming up to this birthday, I didn't want to talk about the number, and I even told you I didn't want to talk about the number. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Are we lying? What are we doing here?
Because I think I'm not exactly where I expected to be at 40. I thought I would be married with kids of my own and have a house. And I am none of those things. But I realized over the weekend that I am living exactly the life that I should be living. I have this amazing man in my life who is he always shows up. He's always there for me. He always does all the right things. And even the things that I don't realize he's doing. And then you look back and you're like, oh, he was really trying. And he was really trying. But also, I mean, I get to experience his children. And it's a new adventure. And I'm happy with my career. I get to talk to you every week.
Yes. Life's good.
It really is. Like, if there's anything I'm going to do in my 40s, it's to enjoy experiencing life as it is now and not wishing for something that it is not.
Well, you know, a lot of people like you do think, oh, when I'm turning 40, like you said, you wanted to have all these boxes checked off. But it's not really about the things that you own or those kinds of things. Isn't it really about what you've learned?
I guess. I'm still learning. I make a lot of mistakes, Sandra.
I know, but that's okay. But being 40 also affords you the right to say, I don't give an F. You know what I mean? It affords you to say that you've earned the right to do this, 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 and this. I mean, doesn't it? Or can I teach you to do that? I mean,
I think I need some guidance. So, like, what kind of situations can I use this in?
Well, I use the expression, and it just actually came to my attention recently. I use the expression, not my problem, quite a bit. So when people come up to me and they try to drag me down with their garbage, I always say, not my problem, and I walk away. In fact, when people start telling me things that I'm of little interest to me, I will walk away mid-sentence. Because
wow.
When I turn 40, I've done that to people in the office before who just say nonsense. So I just leave. I've walked up in meetings. I've left meetings before when I think it's garbage, just to throw little temper tantrums here and there. Now, it's part comedy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't do it in full seriousness, but it's part comedy as well. You know what I mean?
Right. Or at least you make it seem that way.
That's right. And they just go, that's just Sandra being Sandra. But they also know that it doesn't come from a mean place. It just comes from a, I don't have time for your bullshit place. Let's get efficient and do this because I have a life to live and it doesn't involve me sitting in a boardroom for 7 hours.
This could be problematic if I learn this. Our podcast will end at 5 minutes when you start complaining about something. I'll be like, not my problem. Mic off.
Not my problem. I know. But, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be an empathetic person, because of course you should be, and you are a good person and you are all of those things. But do you feel like you've learned anything at the age of 40?
Yeah, I think I've been through enough that I guess you learn to feel like you have the right to be you.
Yeah. Yeah, and you shouldn't apologize for it. I have a rule. I always say, for me anyway, I always say, if you are somebody who is 40 years old and you don't have at least 65% of your shit together, there's something wrong.
Oh, I've got something wrong.
You are 65% solid. No, you know what I mean? And I'm not talking about the things you own, like a house, dogs, cars. That's not shit. I'm talking your emotional shit.
Right.
If you don't have your if you're 65% there and good, fine. And I feel like as you get older, that number should increase. And I will say, and I hope this isn't indicative of my age, but I have an 82-18% success rate right now. That is my ratio. I say that I'm 82% solid, but there's still 18% of me that still has insecure days.
But I think
that's
we
still
all
questions.
Do. That's natural. And
right.
I think that my fear of the 40th birthday was built around that insecurity that I wasn't good enough or I wasn't where I should be. And it all culminated in a big old dirty cry on the way home from my boyfriend's.
But a happy cry.
Oh, yeah. Where I realized, like, I'm okay. Like,
yeah.
I didn't expect to be okay. You know, like... But
you're okay.
I'm really happy.
I know you're happy. I'm happy that you're happy, but just can you just give me a percentage?
I would
tell
say
me you're
I'm
65.
75% happy.
That's good. That's normal. Good. See? There you go. That makes me happy.
All right, are we now gonna... no more crying.
I was going to say, can we can we just do you want to cry? Because I'll cry with you right now because I feel like it. That made me happy.
I don't need your crocodile tears.
Because I got those ready. I'm pretty excited about today's guest. She is a fundraising strategist. And if you live in Ottawa, you know that she is a very well-respected broadcaster and, I guess, philanthropist. Is that fair to say, Sam?
Philanthropy Council. And,
Philanthropy yeah. Council. Very, very big, fancy titles. But the title that I'm most interested in is I would call you a relationship expert. Please welcome to the Quick and the Dirty podcast, Sam LaPrade.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, Sam, what makes you a relationship expert?
Because I've done everything wrong. Every possible mistake that could be made has been made by me.
And so you have learned a lot of lessons through life.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm kind of the jackass whisperer.
Oh, my God. So you're a troll magnet.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. Let's put it this way. If you put 100 great guys in a room, one jackass, I'm on the jackass like white on rice. Like, it's unbelievable.
So you have a type,
yes,
and it's not good.
No, and usually, you know, by the end of the night, I'm already, you know, paying off his credit card and taking his mother to the podiatrist. And, you know, that's just the kind of gal I am.
Oh, Sam.
Okay, so let's get a little background. We didn't know about the big titles and the jobs and stuff, but who are you as a human being? Describe yourself for people listening.
I'm a grateful mom. I have a gorgeous 11-year-old daughter named Avery. And, yeah, I'm an only child and had fantastic parents. My mom's still with us and I lost my dad. But yeah, I love this community. I love Ottawa. I'm just a happy gal. Got lots of great network of friends. Yeah.
And age range-ish?
40. Going to be 48. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So is this your second time around? Like you're in the dating world now. You've yep. been married. There's a story there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I was married first in 2003, and it's very funny. I actually met my husband in a Tim Hortons.
That husband, hello.
Yeah, hello. In a Tim Hortons drive-thru. And
was he serving you?
No, it was really
sorry.
Funny. No.
I feel like that was a natural question, Sam.
I usually am a girl that goes after the guy with the donuts, but no, I decided to, no, we were actually passing each other. I was going through the drive-thru for Scotiabank, and he was going through the drive-thru at Tim Hortons, and I thought he waved at me, but he was just stretching.
Oh, God.
Kind of embarrassing. But then to take it a step further, we actually wrote our story to Tim Hortons and they put us on all the coffee cups and the donut boxes. So we were part of the story in the 40th anniversary of Tim Hortons. I kid you not.
Did you get free coffee
you
out of it at least?
You can't make this stuff up.
Did they give you like a free Tim Hortons gift card for life?
I can't even tell you that they actually, when we were doing media, they actually made us still pay for our coffee. I don't even drink coffee, but they made my husband pay for his coffee.
Do you think that's why the marriage ultimately failed?
Yes. I do. The Timbits. The Timbits might have had something to do with it.
Okay, so that... Okay,
so that's marriage number one.
Mm-hmm. So then I, about 8 p.m. on June the 12th, 2011, I left him. Not to be specific.
That's very specific.
Well, like, did a TV show end that
fantastic.
You were like, that you needed to finish and see through? Is that
yes,
what happened?
It was like, I'm out of here. so that was good. And then I decided I was never, ever getting married again. And a couple of years after that, I decided to go on Match. My girlfriend was going to go on Match as well. So we were going to kind of do it together. I lasted 72 long hours.
Oh.
I was asked to do lots of different things in 72 hours. So I decided online dating wasn't for me. So I got off of there and, then I started to, communicate with someone that I've known for a really long time. And, yeah, we started communicating and I still said I would never get married again. And, lo and behold, I got married in 2016 and, divorced in 2017. So it was a very quick relationship. Lots of good lessons out of it, though.
That, but that's like ridiculously quick.
Oh,
that's
no, it
like
was,
almost Britney Spears quick,
exactly.
Sam.
It
like
was 18 that, months. It was
yeah.
18 months.
How do you hate someone that quickly?
Well, it came on quite quickly, actually. to be honest with you, a little bit of it for me was just being in the same country. So this was someone that was in Australia. We've known each other, although we've known each other for a really long time. And we would, you know, see each other. He would come to Canada and stuff. It just became very different when he moved here. He wasn't happy in Canada. And there was just lots of different sort of outside forces as well that were challenging for us. I lost my father during that time. But you really get to know somebody when you're going through a lot of grief and how that person handles the grief. And how, yeah, just how life kind of, all the different factors that were sort of stressing us out in terms of immigration. And there was lots going on.
That doesn't surprise me. I've known several people whose marriages didn't make it through the death of their parents.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the death of your parents, not to bring everyone down, but the death of your parents really does change you. I'll never be the same after losing my father. And grateful my mom's still here, but she was going through a lot of serious illness at the same time. So I actually thought I might lose them very close together. So there's a lot of pressure. I'm an only child. I'm a single mom, essentially. So there was just lots going on.
So is it that he just wasn't able to obviously give you what you needed, or is it that he didn't know you well enough to give you what you needed, or
yeah,
care enough to give you what you needed?
I think it was a combination. I just don't think we were the same type of person. It's going to sound funny, but I thought very much that, you know, obviously he was Australian, and which was great, and but I thought our cultures were very the same, but they aren't. Australian culture and Canadian culture are very different. So I learned a lot of those lessons the hard way. They're lovely people, don't get me wrong, and the accent's fantastic. but just culturally, we are very different. We were very different family-wise as well. So he came from a really big family, and they were kind of all over the place, where my family's really small and very, very close. So there's lots of things that were going on for sure.
And he was probably in a position where you were the only thing he knew here. And
yeah.
I've sort of felt that before when you move to a new town, even like
for
you're
sure.
not talking new country, that you have to make, you are his only person.
Yep.
So there's a lot of pressure on you too, and maybe a lot of pressure you weren't able to give.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that's a really good valid point, because when he came, you know, I still had to work full time and my dad was dying, and you know, I was still had to be a mom, and I still had, you know, was being a friend and taking my mom to appointments. And so there was lots going on. And then, you know, you meet someone who doesn't know where the main street is in Ottawa. Right. So, you know, he couldn't drive. He couldn't. So it was almost, you know, as much as he tried to contribute, I think there was a lot of frustration on his end, too. And we just we just weren't a good couple together for sure.
So after 18 months, was it a mutual breakup? And not to get too personal, I'm just wondering, was it an ugly breakup?
No,
like,
you know
go
what?
Back to where you came from?
It was very much tempting.
Get out. Get out.
It was very much, it was, to be honest with you, I'd asked him to leave actually a year, so I asked him to leave July 13th, but I'd actually asked him to leave in the February. So it was already starting to go bad places. And then there was just kind of a few things that were just, one of them was that I said to my daughter, like, I just don't know how this is working for me. Even though she was quite young, I said, you know, I don't know if this person's going to live here anymore. And she said, well, is it because he doesn't respect you, Mom? And she's 8.
Wow.
And so there was no decision after that.
Wow.
The decision was made.
That was the moment where you're like, I'm out.
Because you think you're hiding it from your kids. You know, you think you're hiding your unhappiness, or you think you're, you know, talking, you know, quietly after they've gone to bed. But the reality is, if you're not happy, your kids know it. And so for me, the big lesson in both leaving both marriages was I wanted a happy kid. And the way I looked at it is I can, you know, I can find another relationship. I can never give that child another childhood.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was over for me. It was over for me very quickly.
What do you think would have happened if you didn't have children? How do you think things would have played out?
Interesting. I never really thought about that. I don't think it would be very much different, to be honest. My friends, actually, I had a girlfriend, my friend Stephanie, who I love to death. She took me for coffee and she said, just to let you know, like, you don't actually talk anymore. And you're very quiet, and that's not me. So she just found my personality had changed. And over time, I had just become someone that I didn't really recognize either.
Oh, that totally happens. Mm-hmm. I've been in unhappy relationships where you sort of, you turtle because
Absolutely.
You don't want anyone to know how unhappy you are and you don't have a lot of happy things to talk about.
Yeah. And I think, too, the embarrassment because, you know, we had kept our relationship quite quiet. So when we announced our engagement, people were like, we didn't even know you were dating anyone. And, you know, everybody was like, oh, my gosh. So you think that social media piece is a big piece of it, which sounds really funny. I was, you know, you're embarrassed to tell your friends that the relationship didn't work out. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to seem like, oh my God, what's wrong with her? She got married twice. Like, you know, and my friends already joked that I had to import this one. You know, I'd gone through everyone else. So it was like, oh, sweet love. So, you know, I'd already had all the jokes you could possibly have. So, but you know what? I don't regret it. I will tell you, like within 4 days, I felt back to myself. Well, a big part of it, you know, I always recommend this to anybody. If it doesn't matter if it's a boyfriend or a husband or whatever, when you separate, first of all, go buy a new mattress. It's fantastic. The people at Sleep Country love me because I buy new mattresses like every few years. But buy a new mattress, which was fantastic. So I got a new mattress. But
well,
I also.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Because it still has the smell of the old guy on it.
Just,
why?
You know,
just
the, like,
his body's still in it.
It's just a weird thing. I just wanted a new
that
mattress.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I did that.
Yeah, it's weird when you're doing it with a new one in the same one you were doing it in the old one with.
Couldn't do it. So the other thing is I had somebody come in and de-man the house. So basically I hired this cleaning company, which is fantastic, my friend Patty, and they came in. And when I walked back in that house, it looked like he had never been there. It was fantastic.
Okay, I love you just a little bit more that you demand your house.
Oh, I did.
I live with teenage boys and a man, and I'd like to demand my house very much.
I did it.
So what do they do? Like, how do you demand a house? Is it just...
She just took care of everything that ever looked like it was part of... I mean, he left with everything, thank heavens. Like, I made him take everything, all his crap with him. But it was just... She just, you know, fluffed the pillows a certain way and just, you know, just cleaned the house in a certain way and... kind of made the bathroom look kind of more girly again and all that stuff. Just everything was fantastic.
I love that.
Yeah, it was great.
All
I
right,
loved it.
So you're through two marriages. You've demanded the house.
Yeah.
You head back out into the dating world. Is there a big stigma or did you feel like there was because you'd now been married two times?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I didn't, like, just to be really clear, I actually decided I was never, ever going to be with anyone again. And I really was not interested in dating. I was never going to go online again because that just never worked for me.
Wait a second. You were never going to be with a man again?
No, like just I decided on a
single, not
celibacy?
Even,
like,
oh, I swear to God, the night before, oh, you're going to love this. So how I left my second husband was I came home with a 4-page program of how this was going to go. So the
Act
night before.
One.
Yeah, exactly.
Scene one. Here
this
we go.
This is exactly how it's going to happen. So basically my 4 pages outlined everything. But the night before I was going to tell him, I remember lying in bed thinking to myself, if this means I'm alone for the rest of my life, would I still make the same decision? The answer was a resounding yes. I knew I would be better by myself than be with someone and not be me anymore. And my friends and obviously my daughter were starting to see it. And that was enough for me to say, you know what, if I'm going to be alone, I'm going to be alone. So it's taken me a long time. I've had a few people ask me out. Like, so it's been about 18 months. And I've had a few people ask me out. And this one friend of mine who I've known for a really long time asked me out. And I said, I've got to be honest with you. You don't want me. I'm broken. And, you know, he sort of laughed. And, you know, he said, oh, I'd really love to, you know, at least take you out for dinner and get to know you and a bit better and stuff. And I just said, you know what? I'm just not interested. And then someone else came along in September and... just kind of a weird coincidence, someone I've known for a really long time and, you know, asked me out and I said yes, which actually surprised me. And but we're taking it super, super slow, like really slow, which is really nice.
Isn't it weird how people come out of the woodwork, though?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, it gets out there that you're single, yeah. And all of a sudden, like, people are calling you.
Well, and the weird thing is, I will tell you the other strange thing that happens, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'll tell you.
You should definitely say it, then.
It's a good lesson. Exactly. Like, tune in. Is that people that were married reached out to me, which was really disappointing to me.
What?
So people that were married, and so they saw that my relationship had gone down. So they assume you're like desperado or something. I don't know. Anyway, so that was disappointing because I had a couple of friends that are married that are guy friends of mine. So that was disappointing. Yeah. But
that doesn't surprise me because they probably want to leave their relationships, but they don't have the balls.
Well, that's the thing. And honestly, like I've had I'll tell you, I've shared my separation agreement with so many people because I'm trying to save people money. but also because I think there's a lot of lessons in that. If you are not happy, you will never be happy. Like you just have to just get out of it. You know, if it's not working for you and there's, you know, it's crappy. Believe me, I've been through it. Like my divorce lawyer said, with the next divorce, I get a set of steak knives. So, you know, it's not fun to have to go through a divorce. It's fun to have to spend the money to do it. It's not fun to tell people and, you know, be sad and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is I'm happier than I've ever been. So.
Can I just talk about the stigma of saying that you've been married multiple times? Well, two times. It's not multiple times. It's two. It's kind of standard now that people are married twice because doesn't everybody have a starter marriage and then they have a, you know what I mean?
It is embarrassing, though. I mean, there's a bit of a stigma attached to it. You know, I think people do wonder, I think, immediately if there's something wrong with you. I mean, that's kind of the, you know, what's wrong with you.
Do you think it's like they wonder what's wrong with you, or maybe you just make bad decisions or quick decisions? Or
well,
you're
I think my friends
hopeful?
Would. Yeah, my friends would tell you that I actually married the same person twice, just from two different countries. I didn't realize how close they were in terms of personality, but they were very, very close. So I didn't see that. But the reality is, I did marry a type, like you were saying before. I think I found a type and. So I've definitely have gone opposite of that. If there's anything, the person I'm seeing now is completely different, like 100% different. And there's a whole other thing to that, too, because it's kind of getting to know how someone else deals with something. Like I was with two people that had no interest in talking. And now I'm with somebody that would, you know, talk an hour about something that they want to talk about in terms of our relationship. So it's very rare for me to I've never found anybody like that before.
You know, I just asked you about the stigma of saying that you've been married multiple times or twice or three, whatever it is. Last year, I listened to a podcast called Dirty John. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my all-time favorite podcasts. And it's actually on Bravo right now. They did a limited series about it. So it's super interesting. And it's based on the true story of a woman who got conned by this guy, married him within 8 weeks. But it was her fifth marriage.
Wow.
And while everybody around her... she seemed like the most normal, kind, generous soul. And there was a lot of, I think, a big shame to the multiple marriages. But at the same time, there's something romantic about someone who truly believes in love. Because mm-hmm. she's a woman who just really wanted that person in her life. I feel that about you, too. Mm-hmm. Even though you say you're broken. Mm-hmm. Everybody's broken. Mm-hmm. Like, isn't everybody? Everybody's got baggage.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I have a U-Haul. But yes. I think I'm very much more cautious, and I believe in it. It sounds funny. I believe in it more when I see it in other people.
Right.
In some ways, I feel like, you know, it's not for me anymore in a really weird way. But I'm getting there. It'll take a lot. I'll never ever be the same person. Because I think when I, you know, certainly after the second marriage, I found out a lot of stuff afterwards. So that changed me as a person for sure.
What do you mean you found out a lot of stuff?
Well, I found out that there was some infidelity. So that that broke my heart in terms of just that I had tried to keep everything together. Like, you know, I was working two jobs. I, you know, was trying to keep everything together. And I just felt like I had been betrayed big time. And so that was really sad for me.
Especially when you consider how short the marriage was for it to be almost broken the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of you wasn't giving it a fair shot from the beginning. That is very heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, I just really truly felt like I was used. And so I just said that's taken me a long time. That will take me a lifetime to get over. I don't know if I'll ever get over that piece. I'm over him because I actually think in many, many ways he was showing me just what he wanted me to see. Right. As opposed to who he really was. and who he really was, but it was who I found out he was after.
Well, and you do that in relationships when they first mm-hmm. start, right?
Yeah.
Like you try to be this perfect person and none of us are perfect.
Yeah. Well, trust is a big thing. It takes me a lot to trust now. Like this poor new person, like I said to him about a month after we were dating, I said, honestly, like if you're going to cheat on me, if you have any thoughts of it at all, just tell me now. Like I don't need to be in a relationship. I'm not. That's the other thing, too. I'm very independent, financially independent. I've got a fantastic career. I can pay my own mortgage. I don't need anybody for any of that. And how I framed it this time was, listen, I have the foundation. I'm looking for the cherry on top. And unless you want to be the cherry on top, then this isn't going to be for me. But you absolutely cannot cheat on me. Like, just tell me you're not interested in me anymore, but don't cheat on me, please. I'm begging you.
It's a hard thing to recover from. Yeah. Have you ever been cheated on, Sandra? That you are aware of?
Yeah. Jeez, I don't know.
Like back in the dating days?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. The guy that I was dating before I got married, it wasn't a serious relationship by any stretch of the imagination. And I moved from Montreal to Ottawa. I've lived in Ottawa twice. The first time I moved here to go to school. And I remember, I knew the long distance relationship wasn't going to last. So I told myself, I'm going to wait 4 weeks to cut him loose. And after a couple of weeks, I called him and he broke up with me because he said he'd been sleeping with somebody for, you know, a long time. He fessed up and he cut me loose. And I remember being devastated. And it's because he broke up with me first.
Your ego took a hit.
My ego took a hit. But I remember that feeling of betrayal. And that probably is the worst feeling mm-hmm. a person can feel when you think mm-hmm. you think one thing and then everything you thought is wrong.
You lose trust in yourself. It's not just trust in other people, right, Sam? When you misjudge somebody's character, it rocks your whole world on all levels.
But you know what? Looking back on it, I think I should have known.
But now you're playing that game where we all were like, oh, mm-hmm. the signs were right there, but I didn't mm-hmm. want to see them. Mm-hmm. Were they all there?
I think so, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I look back on it now and yeah, for sure.
Do you think it's kind of the next person that you're with or this person that you're seeing now, is it fair the amount of baggage we put on our new partners? Because I know when I left my boyfriend who cheated on me, it really affected my relationships after that. And only now am I truly trusting again.
Yeah, I to be honest with you, he's very patient, which is fantastic. Fair, I don't think it's fair, but at the same time, very early on, I just said to him, this is what you get when you get me. So, you know, and he's been very patient. Let's put it this way. I will never get married again. I will tell you, I will never, ever get married again. And I won't live with anybody again. So, you know, it's what we're doing is what we're doing in terms of, I have my daughter basically, 5 nights a week, 3 nights a week. I don't have her. So basically those 3 nights, we hang out, you know, we hang out one or two of those nights, not even all three, one or two. I want a night to myself. I want a night with girlfriends. I'm very busy, as you know, in the community as well. And we, you know, we chat or we text every day and stuff like that. But this isn't somebody, or not that I adore him, he's fantastic, but nobody will get married to me again and nobody will live with me again. So, and he knew that going in.
Okay, can I just say one thing, Sam? Mm-hmm. You're living my dream life right now. and I'm not even kidding when I say that because I'm one of those awful people that imagines my life if I was single. Mm-hmm. I hope that doesn't mean anything. I can hear Hillary judging me.
No, not at all. I'm just so on the other side of the perspective. So to give you like a little bit of background about me, I have been in long-term relationships, but have never been at a point where I trusted somebody enough to get married. And I finally found what I believe is the man of my dreams. And he's previously married. And when we first met, he said he would never get married again. So I'm coming at it from the other perspective where he knows, like I, like you, I set out my priorities right away. And I said, well, if you never want to get married again, don't waste my time. I want this. And he's now stuck around. So, like, it's a totally different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that. I think for me, I just, my daughter, you know, she's 11, so, you know, she's going to be with me another probably 10 years, and then she'll be a sort of on her own. So my focus is really her. And as you know, if I can hang out with someone, go to Sen's game and catch a movie and, you know, cook at home or whatever, a couple nights a week with somebody, then that's great. But that's it for me.
And then have a travel companion if you need one.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's a gala, Ottawa has a million galas, to have a dinner date is always nice. A movie date.
Yeah.
And then go home at the end of the night, sleep in your own damn bed.
Yeah. That's I took him to the Bobs, right?
Yeah, so, right.
Took him to the Bobs this year and, you know, did stuff like that. But no, it'll be very, it'll be what it is. And if someday that doesn't work for him, then that's okay too, right? So it's, I'm just very... yeah, I think I'm probably more guarded than I've ever been in my whole life, but still, I'm still a happy girl.
Do you ever see that waning? Like, what if you've built this magical relationship? I know it. Like, at this point, it's super hard to see the possibility of opening yourself up because that hurt is so fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. To be honest with you, I mean, I like what I have right now with somebody is great. And like I said, if that didn't, I really am okay by myself. I'm just one of those people, and I was like that between my two marriages. Like, I was very happy by myself. That's just, you know, as much as I love, you know, I love great sex and I love all that great stuff.
I'm sorry to interrupt you because I was going to say, what about sex? I mean, I'd like if I was alone, I'd love to be alone, by the way. Not to say that I'm getting a divorce, none of that. But in a perfect world, I'd love to be single and then get banged occasionally and then off they go.
Yeah. And that the off they go is good. Part.
We like the off the go.
But you know, I mean, I'm open to all that, but at the same time, I'm afraid to lose myself again, to be honest. I think if I was to really kind of break it down and get to the nugget of it, I'm really afraid to lose myself again because I in the past, I haven't picked great people. This person's fantastic, but, in the past, I just haven't picked great people. So I need to work past that and just try and stay true to who I am.
You know, I find interesting is that I have a lot of single friends who are in their 40s and who are out there in the dating world and they're online dating, and they cannot meet anybody at all. I mean, they've tried online dating and most of them have given up on that and they just try to do it old school, which they say does not work. Mm-hmm. And here you are. Not looking for anything, and all these men are falling on their, you know, like, how is that? Why does that happen? That's interesting.
I think, to be honest with you, part of it is just that I've made a lot of, like, I've got a really nice network of people around me. So, you know, some of them, like one person that had to ask me out was someone that I had dated in my 20s. So it was someone that knew me.
A recycle?
Recycle, exactly. But, you know, I just decided that, you know, I just, at that point, too, I wasn't interested. This was maybe 6 months after I had separated and I just wasn't interested yet. I think part of it is that I'm not looking. like how I met this new person, well, not new to me, I've known him for a really long time, but we just connected on a business level and then it just kind of led to something else. But I'm not, you know, I think part of it is that I'm not looking. I'm not, you know, I mean, I just kind of do my thing. And as you know, I'm really busy. I mean, I have a full-time consultancy. I'm here at, you know, obviously at Rogers Radio a lot and doing, you know, my radio show. And I've got tons of friends. I've got guy friends and girlfriends. I think guy friends has been one of the best things I've ever done is kept my guy friends. They are amazing because they give me a really interesting perspective ongoing. I'm just a busy gal. So I think part of it is just I'm not really looking.
Do you think it's less scary for guys because you're not like looking to settle down and the pressure will be on and you're just like enjoying life?
Yeah, and I think that. And I'll be honest with you. One of my really good friends said to me, you know what? You're fabulous and you're busy. And when you're fabulous and you're busy, it does tend to attract people, right? People don't want somebody that's like, I have no idea what I'm doing this week and you know, I hate my job. And, you know, that's just a downer. So when somebody sees and truly that you are busy and you are, you know, keeping going and you know, constantly on the go and trying to create new initiatives for yourself and be out with friends and all that, it is attractive to people. People don't want someone that's going to be clingy and can't, you know, hold their own in a conversation or at an event or so. I think part of it's that too, is that I've always been very independent that way.
Guys can smell desperation.
Yeah, exactly.
Humans can smell desperation. Yeah. I got to tell you, I go every Saturday morning. I do a body pump class at the gym. Mm-hmm. And there's this lady, perfectly lovely lady. I mean, she's fit, too. I mean, she's got a lot going for her. She's physically attractive. But I see her hitting on every single guy that looks at her at the gym. And she has worked that gym like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. And even one class, she said to me, I got to leave early. I have a coffee date right now. You know, can you put my weights away? Yeah, go. I don't even know the lady, but she talks to everybody. She's very friendly and open. Yeah. And I can already see her problem is that she reeks of desperation. Mm-hmm. And she's going out and looking for dudes all the time. She was telling me she goes to these bars and she's hanging out with 20-year-olds. And she doesn't look like a self-sufficient woman to me. She looks desperate. And I wouldn't want to date a woman like that, to be honest with you.
And I don't want to date guys like that. Like, that's a big turnoff for me, too. Like, you know, if somebody, especially for me, is that, you know, with having my daughter 5 nights and having 3 nights to myself, you know, those 3 nights are busy. So I don't want someone to be like, oh, you can't hang out with me for, you know, all 3 nights or, you know, always needing to see me and stuff like that. I just couldn't do it.
You have an incredible self-awareness about you. Did you have to go to a lot of therapy?
I have done therapy.
Yeah.
I was happy to do it because it really opened up my mind to the pattern for sure that I had fallen into in terms of who I was attracting. The other part for me is that when I put what's important to me at the center, so meaning my daughter, my mom, my friends, and my work, then everything else around it basically is secondary. So anybody that's going to come into my life now, you know, their position is very well known. these are the core things. These are the things that have been with me. I mean, I've got a guy friend who I've been friends with since 2005. We talk like every day, if not every second day. And, you know, that's someone that's really important to me. Well, if I'm going to date someone that doesn't get that, that person's been with me now for 14 years. So someone that I'm going to start to date that is influenced by the fact that I've got a guy friend and that bothers them, that's not the person for me. So I find for me is that through therapy and through do a lot of reading. Love Warrior is a book that I absolutely adored. So there's a lot of books that I've read. Brené Brown, I do a lot of reading about Brené Brown. But really centering myself into what's important to me, and then everything else kind of comes from there.
You know what? I think you're starting to think like a dude a little bit, because guys, they have their priorities set straight. Like, I knew when I started dating my boyfriend that I would never be his number one priority because his kids are. Mm-hmm. And like, they're very clear with that. And I think a lot of times as women, we don't feel empowered to make our priorities.
Yep. No, agreed. Absolutely. And I think for me, I'm mom number one. That's my number one role. Is to you know, raise my daughter, and she's a good one. I mean, she was, to be honest with you, that day I think she told me, you know, I don't think he respects you anymore, was probably the day she mothered me for the first time. And I realized that I was raising a good girl that could realize that and see that how I was being treated wasn't respectful. And so I didn't want to teach her for one more minute, and within 2 weeks he was gone. I didn't want to teach her for one more minute that was going to be appropriate. So to me, another big reason is that I'm a role modeling for her. And even though I've been divorced twice, I'd rather, you know, it's kind of a Dr. Philism, I guess. Kids would rather come from a broken home than live in one, is something that Dr. Phil says. And it sounds kind of a bit cliche-ish, but at the same time, it's true. I mean, she would much rather have me on her own and us to be able to spend great times together than be in a house that's tense or we're walking on eggshells.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So now you've been through two marriages. You're back in the dating world. You seem to have a very good idea of where you want to head. Do you find that your female friends who are starting in that situation come to you for advice now?
All the time. I was in Toronto recently. I was speaking at a conference doing a closing plenary, and I had a couple people come up to me and say, hey, do you have 15 minutes for me or whatever? And I assumed it was about fundraising. And it was actually people that had seen, you know, little videos that I had put up about my daughter. One of them was when my daughter saw her room for the first time when I got divorced the first time, and how I talked about the fact that it was a fresh start for us. And she said that video really struck her because she was going to be leaving her husband in the new year. And, you know, that was really, and could I give her any tips? And so I have people come to me all the time, and I have friends of friends. My lawyer tells me all the time that she gets people that go and say, oh, Sam recommended I come. So, you know, I've really tried to provide everybody the support I can, if they're going to be going through it, and any lessons that I can share. And without a word of a lie, like I said earlier, I have shared my separation agreement because, I worked really hard on it. And there's things in there that a lot of people don't think about when you're going through, a divorce. And so that separation agreement, you know, has really framed how you're going to basically raise your child together. So that's been a really important piece for me. So I think all in all, I do have provided both for guys and gals some advice.
It's funny how if you have a girlfriend that's dating a new guy or whatever, as women, as people, we can always tell when it's wrong. Like, we can always see that. It's so clear. When I have a girlfriend who's dating a guy, we're like, he's a loser. Actually, a friendship of mine sort of faded and dissolved because she was dating a loser. And I told her, you're dating a loser. Mm-hmm. And she chose the loser. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that relationship ended, but it's funny how we can't see things ourselves. Did you have any girlfriends tell you that you were dating a loser?
Every single one of them.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. And why didn't you listen?
You know what? A lot of them were nervous about it. So I took it more that they were nervous because he was Australian and because he was coming here and the immigration. I took it that that's what they were referring to, as opposed to personality-wise, because a lot of them sort of met him after he had come here. And they were always a very cautious, especially my guy friends, were very cautious I was being used. And I was like, no, you have no idea. We've got, you know, because we had to submit, you know, stuff to immigration. We had 750 pages of Facebook chat, and we had to submit all of our phone records. And
that's weird that you have to submit that. Like, long distance relationships, some of that's steamy.
Well, that's it. I went and took it all out, and then my lawyer said I had to put it all back in. So I took out all the sexy stuff. But anyway, all to say is that, you know, from my perspective, you know, they did see it. And eventually, you know, they were very vocal about it. Like my girlfriend that took me out for coffee that day and just said, you know what, this isn't working. And, you know, I can tell you're not yourself and all that kind of stuff. And my guy friends were very, very open about it, too. I think guys see it in other guys.
Oh, yeah. They know a wolf when they see one, for sure.
Yeah. I remember telling my guy friend, my really good guy friend, that I was dating someone. And this was like between marriages. It was just a very short relationship. And I said, oh, my gosh, you're never going to believe who's asked me out. And I've gone out with a few times. He's like, oh, God, don't go out with him. Seriously. And I was like, why? And he's like, no, just don't. Trust me. And I did trust him. And it turned out that it was a good thing. But it's just funny how guys just, you know, they just know.
At the beginning of this conversation, you described yourself as broken. Mm-hmm. Would you change anything about the last, you know, about your marital history at all? Because it seems to me you are a very strong, independent, self-sufficient woman, mm-hmm. who's got her shit together, mm-hmm. and a lot of people don't, even though you say you're broken. I disagree. Would you have changed anything?
I definitely wouldn't have got married the second time. The first time even, you know, it was just a very kind of strange circumstance. We got married very quickly. We got married within 6 months of meeting each other. The old Tim Hortons does that to you.
I know. Love is in the air.
Love is in the donut. But you know what? I have no regrets. I have a gorgeous child and all that stuff. I wouldn't have got married the second time. I think a big part of it is that he had asked me to marry him over a number of years, and I had said no a number of times. And when my father was diagnosed terminal, I went through this big thing of, would I have any regrets if I didn't take a chance? And that's kind of guided me. And had I think my father not been going through that and whatever, I probably wouldn't have gotten married again. So I think part of it for me is, part of me will, as much as, yes, I am very self-sufficient, I do have my shit together, but I think part of me will always be broken. In terms of trust, I will never, ever, ever trust like I trusted ever again. I just won't. And it just changed me as a person. So broken in terms of heartbroken in some ways. I think there's just a part that will just never be healed. And, you know, but would I change it? I don't know if I would change. I mean, I regret getting married, but now that I've gone through it, who I've come out to be at the end of that, I mean, I had the best year of my life in 2018. The best
really?
Year of my life. Oh my God. Career wise. Oh my God. Like, well, my radio show took off, obviously. Like work wise, it was fantastic. I was a full-time consultant last year for the first time as a full year. I mean, 2018 was an incredible year for me. I traveled, I spoke all over the world. I mean, I was just very, very, very lucky in 2018. So would it, you know, it got me to where I am today. So I have no regrets about that part. But I wish I would have listened to the, every bone in my body at one point screamed that that was wrong. And I just kept going, for fear of disappointing people, for fear of being embarrassed, the money aspect, oh my gosh, I invested so much money, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality of it is I am who I am today, and I have no regrets about that.
Okay, I've got another question. It's maybe a little more sultry. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a double standard for women and how they approach dating? Like, everybody assumes you have to be looking for love. You can't just be looking for fun.
Oh, no, you can look for fun. Oh,
well,
no,
of course
sure.
you can. But, like, do some of your friends feel that that's weird because they know you're not looking for a commitment?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think, to be honest with you, I think people have more respect for the fact you're going to be honest about it. Like, you know, like there's been times, certainly between my marriage, not now, but between my marriages, quite honestly, like I said, on July 13th, 2017, at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I decided I was never, ever, like, it didn't matter to me if I ever had sex again. Like, I was just like, I'm done. It's fine. I'm over it. But between my marriages, you know, I did have some fun. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it as long as you're upfront about it. And I think it was a bit, bit relieving. And I think you can have a lot. I think you can actually have a lot of fun with it at the same time as you can kind of be something you couldn't be in your marriage. Right. So it was kind of fun for me to kind of hang out with somebody. And, you know, we were kind of together for 4 or 5 months and then we just decided it wasn't for us. But, you know, it was just one of those things where we had, you know, an opportunity to kind of, you know, kind of have a good time.
I think that that's wonderful because I can tell you as somebody who's never been married, there have been points in my life where I dated a fair bit and there is judgment I've felt from people who are like, oh, you'll never meet a husband if you just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially when you don't want to meet one, it's lots of fun.
Right. Maybe it's like after you're married, then you can do what you want. But if I don't know, I've always felt a lot of pressure from people. Like even my co-host for my daily radio show, he'll mm-hmm. be like, oh, Hillary's dated a lot of guys. And it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm in my late 30s and I'm not married. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of dating time.
Yeah,
it is. But sure. But it's funny, too, because if a guy goes out and he dates a lot of women and mm-hmm. those relationships don't go anywhere, not another word will be said about
right.
it.
Right.
But you're a woman and you're if they didn't go anywhere, why are you judged for it? Why do they have to go anywhere?
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely a double standard. I think it's completely double standard. But, you know, I think my guy friends would tell you that they'd rather you be honest with them about it than, you know, than sort of try and hide it and try and make it that, you know, that you want something more. I think we're sort of led to believe that we're looking for, you know, fairy tales and you know, romance and all that stuff, as opposed to just, you know, a physical need, meeting a physical need. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to be honest. You know, for me anyway, that's
right.
has worked for me. So, I mean, not that I was doing it all the time, but you know, there was a point in time when, you know, when I thought, oh, I'm going to kind of get out there again. But once again, I never wanted to get married again, especially after the first time.
Now, the fairy tale doesn't work for you. You have no interest in that. Do you
no.
still believe in it for other people?
Yeah, I do. I think sometimes, yeah, I do for certain people. So, you know, when people have, you know, a long committed relationship, and I've always said to myself, because I've seen this, relationships don't work unless the guy is really into it. Unless the guy is really into it, the girl can never make up for that. But I find in my own experience and with my girlfriends and my friends is when the girl is the one driving everything, it never works. So when I see it, when a guy is truly in love and really wants all the things that, you know, the woman wants, and, you know, family, and wants to travel together and really wants to see her succeed and stuff. But when a guy is kind of being dragged to the altar, it's painful to watch, because I've seen my guy's friends have that happen to them. And I know it's never going to work. So do I believe in all the romance and stuff? Yeah, I do. But at the same time, I really always find that if the guy isn't into it, it's just not going to work.
A lot of people get married for the wrong reasons, obviously.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people get married because of the old, you know, the biological clock. You know, certainly for my first time, I was, you know, I was getting up there. I think I was 34, 35, and I was getting nervous about, you know, I really wanted to have children. And, you know, so I think part of it is, you know, people look at the outside forces and think, oh, you know, I need to sort of get going because, you know, I'm going to be an old lady and not be able to have kids. So I think part of it for me is that when a guy isn't 100% into it, never works.
There might be a lot of women who are listening to the podcast right now who are in situations that they'd like to get out of. Maybe they're in a marriage they know isn't right, or in any kind of a relationship that they know isn't right. And they can you feel it in your bones. I'm convinced. I've been in bad relationships before.
Absolutely.
What advice would you give to them?
Get out. But have a plan, honestly. And I did it for both marriages, or both divorces, I should say, or separations, as I planned it. I didn't, you know, it sounds funny when I say the exact date, the exact time for both. But the reality was, I am a planner. but the reality is, for me, I needed to have certain stuff in place. So, you know, I needed to be organized. I needed to figure out how stuff was going to go. And when you hit that point where there's no more talking, there literally was no more talking about it. You know, and one thing I've learned out of both these marriages is actions do speak louder than words. So you can have all the words you want, but unless the actions are behind them, then they're not there. So if you're in a marriage where there's a lot of, you know, sort of chatter about how things are going to change, but there's no change, then you have to get out. You know, and people are worried. They're worried about money, and they're worried about, you know, reputation, and they're worried about, you know, children and all those things. I have to tell you that when you actually do it, it's like you've lost 50 pounds off your shoulders. There is an incredible relief. Not that it's going to be easy, because it's not. I will never fib to anyone and tell you it's going to be easy. But the reality is, it does get better. And sometimes there's a little bit of a storm before the sunshine. And the storm is all the, you know, the financial stuff and working out a separation agreement and who gets the big couch and all that kind of crap. But the reality is, when you sit alone and you know that you've made a decision that's right for you and right for your children long term, you're never going to regret that. You're never going to regret it. And people are nervous. They're nervous to be out there in the dating scene again. They're nervous about all those things. But you have to be independent. Once you see that independence and know how strong you are, there were days where I couldn't move. I was paralyzed, not because I didn't think I'd made the right move, but because what the next moves needed to be, right? I needed to go seek a lawyer again, or my good old lawyer, Marta. I went back to her again, but I needed to do all these things. But I don't regret any of it. Now, Marta does require a SIN number and a resume for anybody I do date moving forward. but you know, she's been very, very supportive, and you know, finding someone that's going to be supportive, finding someone that's going to see what your ultimate goals are. And there is a way to do it. You know, you might be going from a 3-bedroom, you know, house in the Glebe to a 2-bedroom townhouse in Barrhaven. Your children will never, ever care about that stuff. They want you to be happy. So if you don't stay for kids, that's the one thing I always say to people. Don't stay for children.
You said there's something that you put in your separation agreement that other people don't think of. And you brought up the separation agreement a couple of times.
Yeah.
What's your secret?
For a separation agreement for me was that I wanted to make sure that we had our holidays organized. I wanted to make sure that there was, you know, it sounds really funny, but, you know, things like Halloween costumes, and especially because she was little, right? She was only 3 when I left. So, you know, who's going to do all this stuff, and, you know, who can care for her and who can't care for her, and all those pieces were really important for me. And it's a document we go back to time and time again. and revisit and make sure that, you know, we're following what's in there. There's a financial piece in there, but it's very minimal. It's basically looking after her expenses and stuff. So, you know, I think part of it for me was that, you know, that the separation agreement is a very costly piece to start off with nothing. So I always, you know, provide it to people. I black out some stuff, but provide it to people so that they can use it as a template, at least have something so people can think about, you know, everything from snowsuits to Halloween costumes and everything in between. Because what you want to do is make it as seamless for the kid as possible. The other thing that we did, which I would highly recommend to anybody, is that whatever parent isn't with the child, that parent has an opportunity to phone the child every night. So I have spoken to my daughter every single day. So, and she speaks to her father when she's with me. And it's just sometimes a 2-3 minute phone call, but it's checking in every day. That has been one of the things my daughter's really appreciated through it all. A lot of times we just want to, you know, when we have the kid in our custody, we just want to keep them there and not involve the other parent. But, you know, we've always enabled each other to go to every soccer game and every swim lesson and, you know, concerts and everything. So we've really tried to come together. We do as well a couple times a year. You know, it's not always perfect, but we try to get together a couple times a year for dinner and do something around maybe her birthday or end of school. You know, sometimes we'll do a pumpkin patch together or something, just to provide her with that memory as well.
Sam LaPrade, I love you.
I love you. And I love you, Hillary.
I love you too. I just met you, but I already love you.
Aw, thanks.
I feel like the three of us should go drinking sometime.
I'm sad I'm not going to the Sandals now.
I don't think the world can handle us together. Yeah.
I don't think so either. But Sam, I really want to thank you for coming in and sharing your story. And I love that you framed yourself as a relationship expert. I had no idea.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on Air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.